application without any problem. Am I right? Okay. Fine.
I'm having trouble with this, right?
Okay.
I lost the,
Is that yours?
I didn't go out of it.
I don't see the...
No.
It's already on the screen. Is this one?
Yeah, it is already on the screen. Just you're ready. Yours? You just use those and...
How do I bring it up on the screen? Where's the...
Okay, here.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Let me see if I know how to work this. When is it, where do I advance?
This is
advance?
That's forward.
Back.
Yes, backward. And that's the pointer.
This is the pointer?
Yes.
This is forward?
That's forward. Yeah, then the next one, the program one.
This is forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, my name is Thomas Prevenslick. I'm an American. I'm living in Berlin and Hong Kong, back and forth. Introduction. GM Food. Can you all hear me? GM Food offers the advantage of enhanced growth to feed the world's population. You probably all know this. And here GM will be genetically modified. But as you also probably know, GM foods are quite controversial. The pros and cons. Donald Huber, some of you may know him, he's a prominent critic of GM foods, and he claims that a pathogen is produced that harms human health. For example, residents living close to sprayed GM soybean fields in Argentina develop cancers and birth defects. However, the GM food proponents, those in favor of it, Monsanto and the like, argue science is still looking for, but not found, Huber's pathogen to establish the causal link between GM food and human health problems. Now, I have a reference here. You can go back on this. I'll have this up on the web. You can look at it later. There's a good... The pros and cons are pretty well identified here. Single pathogen. The causal link between GM foods and these problems, diverse defects, autism, cancer, these are diverse problems, and are unlikely to be caused by a single pathogen. The diversity suggests that health problems are caused by GM food in somehow altering the human DNA. You can argue with that point, but that's what I think happened. But then you have to ask the question, how can genetically modified food damage DNA? Now, the background, in U.S. farmland, herbicide-resistant weeds now plague more than 60 million acres. And to the corollaries, Monsanto's Roundup containing the herbicide glyphosate is widely sprayed on the field. Now, glyphosate does not readily penetrate the leaves of the weeds, and they mix it with what is called a POEA that aids penetration. And here POEA is polyoxyethylene amine. And the weeds alone cannot be sprayed, and the POE enters the leaves of the contiguous, they're all together, the weeds and the crops come up together. The it comes up with the corn and soybean crops as an emulsion of empty malt globules that finally reside in the plant crop. Your NP will be nanoparticles. Okay. Now, quantum mechanics, what does that have to do with it? Well, classical physics, genetically modified food under metabolic processes in the gut is thought to increase the nanoparticle temperature. But unfortunately, quantum mechanics governs the nanoscale. And by QM, the heat capacity of the nanoparticle vanishes, and I'll show you this. What this means, the heat that's going into those nanoparticles in the gut cannot increase in temperature. And you know you still have to conserve that energy, right? So instead the process proceeds by, what I will argue, the emission of UV radiation. Now the UV in turn will damage the DNA of your body tissue, and if it is not repaired by the immune system, may lead to birth defects, autism, and cancer in and of itself. The question is, altering the DNA of the people in the world with GM food a crime against humanity? Question I'm throwing up to you, and I'll try to answer that. Now, nanotechnology, if you look around and ask yourself, hey, are nanoparticles dangerous? Okay? And we know in nanotechnology they are. UV radiation from nanoparticles, and I'm going to be showing you, occurs, supports experiments over the past decade showing the nanoparticles damage the DNA. There's data on this, independent of any theory. And the protection of the consumer health by labeling of the products having nanoparticles is shown here. There have been many diseases linked to nanoparticles. Here you see asthma, Alzheimer's, arrhythmia, heart disease, and so on. There are many diseases. Again, Huber didn't talk about this, but you clearly cannot argue a single pathogen caused all this. Something else is going on, and what's being proposed, as I think you can see, is this DNA damage. So the causal link, I'm going to argue that the UV from conventional sources, UV from a conventional solar radiation, you know, damages the DNA. I think all of you agree with that. And also, about 10 years ago, I attended a conference in France, and it was argued that the pathway of DNA damage by nanoparticles is known to mimic conventional UV sources. So they are hand in hand. So the causal link between GM food and human health is proposed to be the DNA damage by UV radiation from nanoparticles and glyphosate residue. This is what I'm arguing. An end piece here will be POEA globules. And then you have to again ask the question, how does the POEA and glyphosate produce UV radiation? Glyphosate itself is not carcinogenic, but the additives are, and you'll see that. Comparing quantum mechanics versus classical physics. The difference between quantum mechanics and classical physics is quantum mechanics allows electromagnetic radiation to be created inside the nanoparticle. And quantum mechanics requires the atoms in the nanoparticles to have vanishing heat capacity, and therefore the heat cannot be conserved by increasing temperature, and instead the conservation proceeds by the emission of electromagnetic radiation, and most likely UV. This causes the DNA. Here I show a plot of the heat capacity of the atom. This is the Planck energy here on the ordinate, on the abscissa, confinement wavelength in microns, and this white line you can hardly see is going all the way across is classical physics. No matter what the confinement of that atom is, classical physics always allows the atom to have heat capacity. The quantum mechanics differs. This is the Planck law, over 100 years old. And if you plot this out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get the Schiller curve, and you can see, well, maybe down here to 100 microns or so, you can argue that classical physics and quantum mechanics have, the atom has the same heat capacity. But after that, it drops off very rapidly, and nanoparticles way over here. So what I'm going to, I think you can see from this, and I think this is the most important plot you could take away from my talk, is that the electromagnetic confinement, if you're down in here, quantum mechanics requires there's no heat capacity to the atom. That goes back 100 years. DNA damage, it's not new. 2003, they showed that oxidative stress and inflammation was caused by a high surface to volume ratio. They didn't know the reason. And in 2008, the DNA damage was linked to cancer by ROS. ROS here is reactive oxygen species, in particular OH radicals. But to create OH radicals, you need at least 5 electron volts of energy. Where does it come from? In the literature, they wave their hands. It's been going on for a long time. They just assume it happens. And again, you have to ask the question, where does this come from? At least I did. And I found there was no answer. So the UV mechanism, POE globule, electromagnetic confinement, simple QED, and electromagnetic emission. I'll be talking about that now. This is the mechanism. You can see here is a globule. Here is a cell with DNA in it. And if you apply heat to this globule, it absorbs heat, it's going to produce radiation. That radiation, depending on the size of the particle, will produce UV, and that in turn can pass through the wall and damage the DNA. Simple QED, what it says, QED converts heat, Q into radiation, because quantum mechanics precludes conservation by temperature. And QED is a simple form of Feynman's complex light and matter action. It's well beyond us. And basically what it says, which I've already alluded to, heat goes into a POEA globule. Without heat capacity, it's going to produce electromagnetic radiation. That's the basic argument. You don't need Feynman's complex QED. Here I show a nanoparticle diameter D. Provide heat Q. It all goes into the surface. Why? High surface to volume ratio. There's no temperature change by quantum mechanics. You have to conserve that somehow. Oops. I think I lost it. Back. And to conserve it, what I'm showing here is a standing wave with a half wavelength equal to the diameter is created. The confinement is caused by the heat in the surface. Okay? And once you use up the heat in the surface to create the radiation, there's no longer any confinement, and the radiation comes off into the water. Equations are simple. And from this, you have electromagnetic emission. Again, on the ordinate here is the wavelength of that emission. This is the diameter of the nanoparticles in nanometers. Here I show this for iron and zinc oxide. It could be anything. And UVC at 254, I show here by the horizontal line. since the wavelength is given by 2 and D, and if I take 254 nanometers, what this means, nanoparticles less than 50 nanometers of zinc oxide will create 254 nanometers, and that in turn will damage the DNA, or 90 nanometers of iron, and for any other material. As a conclusion, Huber's pathogen most likely does not exist, as the diversity of problems linked to GM food cannot be explained by a single pathogen. I think you see that now. In contrast, DNA damage from EM radiation emitted by POEA globules, the wavelength is size dependent, it will scramble the genes differently to explain the different health problems. Now, I walked into this, I'm a mechanical engineer, I'm not a biologist. I walked into this and there was a controversy going on between the Nobel laureates and Greenpeace. Maybe you know about this. But over 100 Nobel laureates signed a letter asking Greenpeace to halt its campaign against GM crops, demanding, abandon your campaign against GMOs. The laureates argued that GMOs can offer food sources to the world's poorest, and concluding, how many people in the world must die before we consider a Greenpeace action a crime against humanity? This is what the laureates wrote. I thought this was a little out of place, but nevertheless they said it. And then the letter, it was organized by Roberts and Sharp. They were winners of the 1993 Nobel Prize in Medicine for the discovery of split genes in DNA. So they should know about DNA. And here you see Roberts, the press club, and he said, we're scientists. We understand the logic of science. It's easy to see that Greenpeace is doing is damaging and anti-science. Okay? The arguments are the scientific and legal. Linking GM food to human health requires a causal relationship, and what I'm proposing to you is this UV from nanoparticles. And the legal argument is, even if the laureates did not know UV is produced in POE globules, they knew or should have known. Experiments have shown nanoparticles damage the DNA for a long time. So the summary then is that prior knowledge is the legal basis for a crime against humanity. And the laureates knew or should have known that UV radiation is genotoxic, but it is likely they may not have known that the globules will create this, like I presented. Maybe they didn't know that. So the conclusion is that the experimental data to go along with this argument, the theoretical argument I'm making, is needed to verify this. And the laureates should irregardless, they should retract their signatures pending experimental data that shows GM food is not genotoxic. Convert. Well, that's all I have. This is my homepage. You can nanofooey.org. You can look on there and find my presentation. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Question.
Yes.
Yes, please. The interesting presentation that you're giving. I'm just thinking that because if you look at this discussion in Europe about GMOs,
you know about this in Europe. I'm sure you do.
But it's somehow it is beyond science.
It's what?
It's beyond science.
Beyond?
It's become an emotional discussion.
Oh well, of course it is on both sides. When you see what the laureates wrote, they placed themselves way up here. So I see the on both sides, it's probably gone too far. I think you agree. But that doesn't alter the fact there's something going on, and I think it's the nanoparticles. That's why earlier in the discussion I was asking whether you can measure the nanoparticles. I personally don't think CO2 is important. It may cause discomfort, but the nanoparticles, if they damage the DNA, and they should by the theory, I don't know, we don't know if the human system can recover that. If the human immune system can correct for the DNA damage, there's no problem, right? I'm from the U.S., and my neighbor smoked Lucky Strike cigarettes for 85 years or so and never had any problems. But I wouldn't recommend that to anyone. He just had an immune system that could handle it. But a lot of people do not have it. And that's the danger. And I don't know how far this can go, but that's what I'm relating to.
Okay. So there's one more question.
You mentioned about 100 or so Nobel laureates to find the letter demanding Greenpeace to retract the campaign against GMO, right? So are there any Nobel laureate in physics, particularly quantum physics, who could give a counter?
I don't think they are.
Uh-huh.
My argument is so strong, they can't go against it.
No Nobel laureate.
So that makes a difference?
So
you've been trained in conventional physics to believe all this, right? 100 Nobel laureates signed the letter in favor and against Greenpeace, right? Fact. Why they did it is questionable. But given that the U.S. is especially politicized at this time, over this time, it's very clear that they are probably being influenced. I just mentioned to Professor Ching, he's not here now, but in the U.S., just recently, Obama got $400,000. I'm answering your question. $400,000 for a talk on Wall Street. Okay? But he didn't mention he appointed Taylor, who was a part of Monsanto, to the head of the FDA. This shows you what's going on. Everything is politicized now in the U.S. And unfortunately, there are no laureates going against the tide. But that's the world we live in. It's not necessarily right or wrong. It's how you're politicized. But you can make your own decision.
Yeah. It's beyond politicized. I think this is economically motivated greed, okay? That's going
wrong.
That's the money going wrong. So cutting long story short, we have one more comment or question.
So when you talk about the nanoparticles here, so what about the biological nanoparticles?
They, unfortunately, even if you stay away from human-made nanoparticles, your body is making them.
Yes.
And the membrane of the organs, they fracture apart and they produce plant-like nanoparticles all the time. So the odds are against us. We're human. But the reason the odds are against us is that no matter where we turn, there's nanoparticles. They don't have to be man-made. That's probably the scariest part, but we'll evolve for how many millions of years, so. But if you have a history of cancer, for example, if you have cancer and they come in with what they call hypothermia, they use lasers on the nanoparticles to kill the tumors, right? You know this, right? Well, if you already have cancer and they come in and do that, you're going to create other cancer because your system, your immune system didn't control it in the first place. But if you're lucky, and you have to be lucky, then you can live a long life. But otherwise, it's too bad.
I think I have to interrupt, so more further queries and discussions like this would be good for the coffee break. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Let's continue with Darius Kuzicki from Poland.